Father, we just come before you and we just thank you and praise you for who you are and the way that you've chosen to deal with us. Father, we just thank you that as we open your word, the Bible, we read in there such words of love as, "For God so loved the world." Father, we just give thanks that we read that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And Father, we would just think of the greatest blessing that you have given to us, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross for us. Father, we come before you, and as we just sit quietly in your presence, we would just think of your word to us, God's words to mankind. And as we just contemplate a small passage, a maybe well-known passage to some, we would just pray that you would speak to us through it. Yet when we hear your word, help us not to ignore it. Help us not to be hard to it, but help us to believe it. Help us to hear the words that you have for us and to react to them. Help us not just to be hearers, but doers also. So, Father, we would just ask that you will be with us and help us. Give us that real sense of your presence as we just read again from your word. So, Father, we ask all these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like us to sing again, this time 708. This is a hymn that I used to give out all the time, and it's "To God Be the Glory." Once my son asked me, as he came out speaking with me, "What hymns are we having tonight? To God be the glory, and what else?" But so I think it's a hymn that we turn to because most people know it, so I hope you know it as well. But since I've been going into the prisons, this hymn is also known as the Prison Anthem. And if you just look at verse 2, it says, "O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God." And this is the line, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives." And of course, we would be wrong to think that we weren't the vilest offenders when we think of God's purity, his holiness, and just who he is. So 708, please, "To God be the glory." Thank you. Read to you from Luke chapter 8, and the words will appear on the screen. I'm just going to see if you can, you can work out whether your eyes are able to see that, or whether you need to open your Bible. But I just want to read to you these words, and it says, now it's a very familiar passage to some, and maybe some of you have never heard it before. I don't know you, so I wouldn't be able to tell. But it's a passage that sometimes, if we're familiar with the passage, that's a disadvantage, because sometimes we just need to say, "Oh no, not that I know those words, but what do those words say to us?" So let's read. It says, "Now it came to pass afterwards that he went from every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him out of their sustenance. And when a great multitude had gathered, they came to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable. A sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some fell among the wayside, and was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rocks, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The one is on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation or testing fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with noble heart keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, God's already blessed us because we've read from his word. If I was to say to you, especially if you're an avid Bible reader, I want to speak to you from Luke chapter 8, you might well say, oh, Luke chapter 8, what's that? Oh, it's the parable of the sower. And it's very easy to get into the story, the narrative, that maybe some of us have heard before, the parable of the sower. It's one of those parables, and the Lord Jesus spoke in many parables, it's one of those parables that, well, we haven't got to wonder what it means. Because as we read, the Lord Jesus then explained what it was that he was talking about. But it would be very easy, of course, to look at the first part of Luke chapter 8 and talk about the sower. But we would have missed out probably the first four verses. And it's quite interesting that the way that everything is just placed there in order. And this is the word of God, so it's not an accident. Every word is placed there carefully, there by God. And it starts, our narrative starts with the word now. It came to pass. Afterwards. So immediately you're probably thinking, well, what was it that came before? And if we were to look at what came before, we would look very carefully and we would see that there was quite an amazing scene. Into a religious man's house comes a lady. And there she breaks an alabaster flask and pours expensive ointment all over the feet of the Lord. And the religious people are outraged. They say, doesn't he know who she is? Because people used to look down their nose at this lady. They knew what she had been about. And very carefully, the Lord never pushes her away. You see, that woman that comes before this chapter, her life was transformed because she met the Lord Jesus Christ. Transformed. Yes, she was this woman who, well, she had a terrible reputation. She was this woman who nobody really wanted to be associated with. People had totally given up on her. But the Lord Jesus Christ loved her. The Lord Jesus Christ dealt with her. And this woman comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows forgiveness. She can't wipe out her past. But God holds nothing against her, for she's come in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told a little bit about this lady. There's a suggestion, if you read on in a different place, of who she might be, but other than that, we know very little about her. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about her, and he doesn't push her away, because in repentance, she's come to him. She has something expensive. She has this beautiful perfume, and she just pours it all out. And we're told this wonderful thing. Those who are forgiven much, love much. If you're sitting there today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it's very easy to think of somebody who, well, was a terrible sinner. We all should love much. For when we have a right idea of how perfect God is, we've all been forgiven much as well. But as we just look at our verse, what we see is, well, it came to pass that he went into every city and village. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't content that this one woman has come to him. He goes out into every city and village. And there, what is he doing? He's preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. But I haven't finished that verse yet. And it says there that the 12 were with him. I got a very simple question. It's very easy to answer because it's yes or no. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? It's pleasing that there's many nods. Now, when I say that, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Is he really your Lord? Because there's only two people who know whether you have been cleansed of your sin. There's only two people who know whether you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's yourself and God. And it says in this verse that as the Lord Jesus, our perfect example, was going around preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, the 12 were with him. Interestingly, those 12 who were following his example, it was even possible to be out there preaching the kingdom of God, the telling of the glad tidings. There's one imposter amongst them. The Lord Jesus was gracious enough to let him go. But he knew. And he knows our hearts, and he knows if we really are his and trusting in him. But the point I think here in this verse is this. Our perfect example went around telling the glad tidings. And if we truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, what should we do? We should be telling out those glad tidings. The 12 were with him. Interestingly, if we were to drop down to verse 4, it says, when a great multitude had gathered, they came to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. It'd be easy just to step over those verses. If we were to turn back a few chapters, you would find the Lord Jesus Christ preaching in the synagogue. Ah, but the religious leaders, those Jewish religious people, they didn't like what he said. The truth wasn't palatable to them. So he wasn't allowed in. In today's times, preaching the word of God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is becoming more and more and more difficult. When the Lord was faced with those difficulties, when he wasn't allowed into the synagogue to do his preaching or allowed into it less, it didn't stop him preaching. He preached outside and the crowds gathered to him. But when we step into verse 2, we find there that it says there were certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And as we just think of that, these ladies had been healed. Now, their transformation of life was something that had a great impact on them. You imagine, and we're not told about all the things that were wrong with these ladies, but these ladies, their lives were impacted by illness. And they met the Lord Jesus Christ and their life. It was transformed. Who were these ladies? Well, we can read on. It says there was Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. I don't know if you've ever met anybody who's demon-possessed. Well, I think I have once. But I can't imagine just what life would be like for somebody who had 7 demons. But out of Mary Magdalene, he cast 7 demons. Then we read on. It says, there was Joanna. Now, Joanna was the wife of Chuza, however you want to pronounce it. But the important thing was that her husband was King Herod's steward. You'll know about King Herod from the Christmas story. Well, I understand that by this time there was another one had taken over, but it was a dynasty of Herods. And as we look at King Herod, well, King Herod was just a puppet king. The Romans were in charge, but he was allowed a certain amount of jurisdiction, just maybe to keep the peace politically. And Chuza, well, he was like the prime minister, the right-hand man, the man that administered this rule. So there was somebody of some sort of standing. And the Lord Jesus Christ had changed her life as well. There was someone called Susanna. I don't know who she is. I just know her name, Susanna. And I'm not quite sure why she's mentioned, but there are many others as well. And these ladies, well, their lives, there was something wrong in their lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ steps in and all of a sudden it's put right. And as it's put right, it has an effect upon their lives. And they spend the rest of the time providing for, it's actually them, so it's the Lord Jesus and the disciples, from their substance, their riches. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, it should impact upon your life. Not that you should just come along, as I'm sure you do regularly at 6:30 on a Sunday night, but it should impact the whole of your life. 7 demons were cast out. You can't imagine that, but to have your sin forgiven is something greater than having 7 demons cast out. 7 demons would affect your life, no doubt about it. Your sin affects your whole eternity. The Bible teaches of judgment for sin, but it teaches of salvation from sin and sins forgiven and a heaven that we can know when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. But just imagine Mary Magdalene. Just imagine her for a moment. You could say, well, she had these 7 demons cast out. And now she wants to, out of her wealth or whatever God has allowed her to have, she's looking after the Lord Jesus and the disciples, she's providing for them. Well, she did it on this day, it's recorded. But what did she do a month later, a year later? Well, she wasn't one that would do one thing one day and go back to her old life. What do we find about Mary Magdalene? Well, let's move on to the time that the Lord is on the cross. Where were the disciples? You read about it. They, after a brief fight in the garden, they fled into the darkness. John makes his way eventually to be nearby. Peter follows at a distance, and we criticize him, but the others are gone into the darkness, aren't they? But if we were to turn to John chapter 19, it says, stood there at the cross, some ladies, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When the atmosphere was electric, when all was against the Lord Jesus, when everybody seemed, after experiencing miracles and feeding, to have rejected him and turned away, small group of ladies, Mary Magdalene, she's still following the Lord Jesus. That day, she watched. She watched the Lord Jesus Christ upon a cross. She heard his words, Father, forgive them. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the one she followed was dead. Laid in a tomb. Is she still going to follow? The disciples didn't know what to believe. They were in a room locked away. They feared the Romans. They feared the Jews. They feared their own shadow. What do we find? John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene, on the first day of the week, went to the tomb while it was early, while it was still dark. You see what Mary Magdalene experienced. She had turned away from her old life, whatever that was. There's lots unsubstantiated written about her, so I'm not going to speculate. But she turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and she followed. She followed out of her wealth. She followed day by day. She followed when the times were hard. And even when she didn't understand it, there was Mary Magdalene. I think it's important right at the start of Luke chapter 8 that we have this description of these ladies. Because these ladies could almost be the subject of the parable that we are then told. We come to verse 4 and it says, he spake a parable. He says, the sower went out with seed. It's interesting when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks that even if the people in the crowd were tailors or cobblers or whatever jobs they had, he speaks about something that they would know. I think I'm standing right in the middle of a farming community. But even if there weren't any farmers in the crowd that day, they'd all seen a man walking across his field. And they'd all seen how he was liberally throwing out the seed in all directions in the hope that it would land on the soil where it would germinate and great harvest would be brought. And his disciples, they speak to him and they say, well, what does this parable mean? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us the meaning of the parable. He doesn't leave it to our imagination to work it out. And in verse 10, he says to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Mysteries. When we think of mysteries, we tend to think of maybe something on the telly where there's some great detective and they're trying to work it all out. In the Bible, when we're told of mysteries, that's not the case. A mystery in the Bible is when God reveals something to us for the very first time. It was a mystery to mankind, if you like, but God now reveals something that is true. And he says to the rest, it's been given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and that hearing they may not understand. And the Lord Jesus was actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. And there he says, keep on hearing, but they don't understand. They keep on seeing, but they don't perceive. And there is something that is a warning for us. Back in the day of Isaiah, here in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking to people and he was saying that, well, you can hear words, can't you? But do you understand what you're hearing? You can see things, but do you actually perceive what it is that God wants you to know? And in Isaiah chapter 6, at the end of that of those verses, it says, if you understand with your heart, and you return and be healed. It's very easy to, as we even walk around today, it always amazes me that how people don't have more accidents walking around with these ear pods in and the noises that we hear in shops and all the rest of it. There's so much noise, things just stopping us listening. And it does us good to be in the quiet, doesn't it? And listen to God's voice and hear what it is that God has to say to us. Now, the parable is this. Now, we imagine this man, he's casting the seed all over the place. And if we want to know what it is that he's saying, we look at the second telling of the parable, if you like. And there the Lord Jesus tells us. He tells us quite plainly, the seed, it's the word of God. And there's a challenge for us. As the Lord Jesus went around from village to city and so on, what did he do? He told the good tidings of the kingdom of God. He told the good news. And the seed is the word of God. We're not told, the actual thing that we're never told in this passage, as far as I can tell anyway, is who the sower actually is. We're told almost every other detail, but not who the sower is. I think that's why we needed to read those first verses. The sower was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and the 12. So it's incumbent upon us today, if you profess the name of Jesus Christ, you are the sower. The one that imparts the word of God. And it says here that the seed is the word of God. And it says, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down and the birds of the air devoured it. Now you can imagine that, can't you? The pathway. The wayside. It was probably just where people walked across the field consistently and they flattened down the earth. The earth was hard, it was baked by the sun. The seeds that fell on it, they probably bounced a little bit and there they just lay until somebody trampled over them or the birds of the air came down and ate up the seed. No chance for it to grow at all. And you say, well, what is that about? And as we see that the seed is the word of God, the question in the whole of the parable is this. What's the ground about? In fact, we could make this parable really personal. What sort of ground are we going to be? The birds came down and ate it. And you would just see what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. It says, those by the wayside are those who hear the word, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Not so much over the last 18 months or so, but I used to go every week and preach on the main street in Cardiff. And There was a man the other day when I was there, probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago now, and as I was speaking, he was drumming away on the bin as loud as he could. And as I looked across at him, he was obviously not wanting people to listen. And as I looked at him, I thought, I've met him before. I went over and spoke to him, and he said, I'm a disciple of the devil. Yes, heard it many times from him before. He claimed that he would be happy in hell. A friend of mine that was in the same conversation said, your master's taught you well. This man was doing everything to disrupt, so that the word of God wouldn't go out there, that the seed wouldn't germinate, that those wouldn't be able to listen, hear, perceive, and be saved. Well, that's what Satan does. Satan is the father of lies. Satan is the one that would snatch the seed away so that nothing would germinate, so that there will not be life. In fact, we're told about him. The thief comes to steal, to kill, destroy. The Lord Jesus Christ came that we might have life. Oh, we haven't finished. And have it more abundantly. The idea of God, what God wants for us, is to have life and to have abundant life. But Satan's active. He's real. The nods have stopped a little bit. The smiles have gone away. We don't like to think about it. But Satan's active in taking away the word of God. And this ground is not allowed that opportunity for the seed to germinate. They allow it to be snatched away by Satan. The parable is this. It says that some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, withered away because it lacked moisture. And the Lord Jesus tells us in the parallel telling, he says, the one on the rock are those, well, they hear it, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and when the time of testing comes, it just falls away. I've known people who have listened. They've heard the gospel message. They have said to themselves, do you know that I'm a sinner. I know that God loves me. I know that Christ died for me. And they seem joyous about it. And in one sense, why wouldn't you be? God loves you. Christ died for you. Believe. Be saved. But then they're tested on it. What is the reality? And as we look at this, we find, well, there was something that sprung up. It looked like life. But the Lord Jesus very clearly says, these have no root. There's no reality. There's no repentance. There's no turning away from sin. There's not real belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Interestingly, in John chapter 2, he, that's the Lord Jesus, was in Jerusalem. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. They saw his miracles. They believed, this must be the Christ. But it says Jesus didn't commit himself to them because he knew all men. You see, I said at the beginning, are you saved? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Saviour? Only two people really know. You and God. And here the Lord Jesus perceived that these men, they love the miracles. But there was no root. There was nothing. Now the parable is this. It says that some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Here we have something a little bit different. It's different a little bit from the one with the path and the rock. It's something that what is around it stops it being something that is absolutely real. And the Lord Jesus says, now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those that when they've heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. The Lord Jesus was talking one day to a man. And this man, well, he wanted to know all the right things. What must I do? I want to know about eternal life. Well, I've kept all the law, I've done this since. And the Lord Jesus speaks to him quite clearly. And he says to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. The Lord Jesus wasn't telling him that he had to give all his riches away to become a Christian. He wasn't telling him that for eternal life, that's what he must do. But this man loved his riches more than he loved God. His riches were his God. And he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. The whole point is this. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, Romans chapter 10 and 9 tells us this very, very clearly. It says, when we believe, or when we confess with our mouth, Jesus as Lord, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. You see, when we trust the Lord Jesus, we ask him to forgive our sin. We thank him for dying for us upon a cross. But it's so much more than that. For when we repent of our sin, we turn our back on our sinful lives and we turn and we walk towards God. And when we look to the example that we had of these ladies, what did they do? Mary Magdalene, she followed, she followed, she followed. Jesus was her Lord. Absolutely she was. That was now her life. That was what she believed. It was her everything. To this man, riches were his everything. And that is the example of the thorns coming up and choking the life that could have been there for God. The parable is this. What we wanted to see when the farmer threw the seed all over the field, he wanted to see that seed fall into good soil. He wanted to see the root go down, the shoot come up, and he wanted to see a plentiful harvest. And there we find that some of the seed fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop. That's a wonderful thing, really, isn't it? It sprang up and yielded a crop. The field was going to be golden. The harvest was going to be great. And in fact, it says that the harvest would be, in one part, 100-fold. Those are the ones that fell on the good ground. They have heard the word of God with noble and good heart. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. That's quite a wonderful thing, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is saying that today we can be the hard ground, we can be the rocky ground, we can be the ground full of thorns. But he's also saying we can be the good ground. We accept the seed, the word of God. We accept it wholeheartedly. And it changes us. In fact, the crop, well, it yields 100-fold. 100% of it. It just multiplies and multiplies. The field is great. The harvest is great. And there's 100-fold harvest. If we were to turn to Matthew's gospel, we find the parable retold. And yet it's retold and another detail is kept in there. And it talks about the harvest. And it says there is a harvest. But some of the harvest is 30-fold. Some of the harvest is 60-fold. And some of it is 100-fold. There's a challenge in there for us, isn't it? Maybe you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour for many years. And maybe you can look into your life and you see a harvest that's being produced for God. You see that real life, that growth and the things that you do for God. Well, what are we producing? Maybe we're 30-fold. Maybe we're not even at 30-fold. Maybe we're 60-fold. God says 100-fold. 100% dedication to God. 1 Corinthians, of course, is a letter that's written to a church, the church in Corinth. And as we just look at that, if we looked at 2 Corinthians, we find this verse, and it just says this: "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." That's a massive challenge, isn't it? Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you might say, well, there ends the parable. The parable is finished. Well, not quite. As the Lord Jesus tells this story, as he tells the first telling of it, what does he do? Well, he says this: "When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" That almost seems a little bit strange, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he's saying, well, he tells the parable. And it's almost like you hear a voice change. He sort of changes his intensity. "He who has ears, let him hear." Well, the Lord Jesus had spoken. When we open our Bible and read, we do something that maybe we underestimate. We do something that is quite phenomenal. You see, when we read the Bible says this in 2 Timothy, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. If the verse stopped there, it would be enough. The Holy Scriptures, we refer to them and they refer to themselves as the Word of God. This here is what God needs you to know. If you like, you could call it the handbook of life that God gives to us. And when we read it, they make us wise. But they do more than that. They make us wise unto salvation. So as guilty sinners, we can know the forgiveness of God. As guilty sinners, our sin is not going to be held against us. We can put on God's righteousness by believing in his Son, and it tells us quite clearly there. It says, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we've just heard a parable from the Word of God. And how do we treat it? The Lord Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." It's not just that you listen to Stuart as he goes on about it. It's not that you just sit there and listen to the words. Just as we talked about from Isaiah, he's saying, those words, what are we going to do with them? Have we heard them just as words, or have we understood them? Have we seen the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is painting in this parable, or do we perceive what God wants us to know? Christ loved you. He died for you, and he wants you, through faith, to know him as Lord and Saviour. In another parable that the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 7, he said, "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who builds his house on the sand." You would say, you don't need to be a builder, an architect, a quantity surveyor, or anything like that to know if you build an expensive house on a foundation of sand, it would be one of the most foolish things you could ever do. It's going to fall at some point. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen to my words. Understand the message that I tell you. But of course, if we're really going to hear, we'll do something about it as well. The Bible clearly tells us that we need to be doers of the Word of God. Listen to what it says. Take it on wholeheartedly. React to them. And allow those words to change your heart and your life. Shall we pray? Father, we just give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for the parables, his teaching. Father, we would just pray now that these words would not be snatched away. The cares of this world would not come and take away these words or the truth of them. But Father, we would just pray for any in this room who have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And Father, we would just ask that you would Just speak into their hearts that they might perceive, they might understand, that they might put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we would just pray for each of us. Many of us maybe have been Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ for many years. Father, help us just to perceive your word. Help us to be those that sow the seed, those that follow closely. May we be able to follow the example of these ladies that followed to the cross, to the tomb, and saw such great blessing. And Father, help us all to accept the challenge. What is the harvest that we bring? Are we 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold? Father, we would remember your great servant Paul. We know that he was against you for so long. And Father, we know that you spoke to him on a road. And Father, when you shone that light from heaven, when you spoke those words to him, we would think of his reply, "What shall I do, Lord?" Father, help us to be like that, that we might be in your will, that we might know your blessing. And Father, we ask all these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.